Join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 for our communion message. And guys, would you hold the text for just a moment? Today, as I've said, is we have the wonderful opportunity to begin a new year. Coming to this table, sharing this Lord's table together. And as we come to this table, there's three things, among other, but three important things that you should remember as we approach this table. First of all, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So today we remember. But what do we remember? We remember everything that Jesus Christ did, not just the crucifixion, which this most directly represents, but his life, his perfect life, fulfilling the law, living a totally righteous life. We remember that. We remember the crucifixion, of course. As I said, this table most directly points to that. We remember the resurrection. And the beauty of that day when that tomb and that stone was rolled away and the ladies found it empty. And then the ascension. Jesus Christ's work on the cross was necessary. The work of resurrection was necessary. But he had completed all that the Father had given him. And just as he told the disciples, he had to go. He could not stay there and work and minister with them any longer. He had to go because it was necessary for the Holy Spirit to come. And so we remember all of that. And as I mentioned to the children, and Shire's excellent word of communion, and that idea of community, as I told the children, we cannot, should not, celebrate communion alone. Now, we do take it to our shut-ins, which is good to do, but we always try to take several with us, elders, their wives, etc. Some of the children have gone with us in the past. Young adults, because we try to develop as much community with that shut-in as we can, still remembering that this must be done in community. And then finally, the third thing, that the Lord's table is a sacrament. That holy thing established by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, it is a sacrament. And as a sacrament, the Lord's Supper is a sign and a seal. We've talked about this on several occasions before, but it's good to have this refresher, to understand as much as we can, what are we doing, what's represented in this table when we come. It is those three things we've talked about, but I want to concentrate on it is a sign and a seal. This table is a sign, and just like any sign, it points to something else. It points to an accomplished work that represents the benefits to we believers, so it's a sign. And then it also seals the believer. Makes a bond, assuring the believer that God is faithful. His covenant promises are sealed into and within us through the work of Jesus Christ. Both sign and seal confirm the believer as that, a covenant member of this community of Christ. And it also, while it points everything from Christ and what he done to us, it also compels us to fulfill our obligations, to be that faithful covenant member of the community. And we can talk about the fulfilling of that in another time. But it compels the covenant member to fulfill their obligations. In our form of, in our directory of public worship, it says this about sacraments, of which this is one of two, baptism being the other. Sacraments are signs and seals of the covenant of grace. As signs, they signify, they represent the benefits promised to believers by God in his covenant of grace and the duties required of them as members of that covenant. Again, duty, obligation. As seals, they confirm these promises, assuring believers that God is faithful to perform all that he has promised. He will not let one promise go unfulfilled. They also confirm our membership in God's covenant people and bind us, again, to our covenant responsibilities, to be that good, faithful, involved member of the church, which is within that covenant. All right, let's break these down just a little bit further. A sign. Again, it's an instrument, it's a token that is represented, that is seen, that points to something else. If I were to go outside this door, turn to the right and look up, there's a sign there above the door. It's in red. EXIT, exit. Now, I pray it doesn't happen, but if something happens here in the sanctuary and we need to get out of here quickly, we would go out that door and we could stop and look at that sign and say, boy, that's a great looking sign. And just stay there, not do what it says. Then we would be in trouble. But we go out there and we look at that sign. The sign is not the important thing. But what is the message the sign is giving us? Get out of here. Exit. So again, this table, the table's not as holy and righteous as this table is. That's not the important thing. It is to whom it points. And so we celebrate communion, we take these wafers, we take this juice, and then we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not remember and do it just as an act, then we may be in trouble spiritually. And so, yes, this is a sign. Okay, now this idea of a seal. The seal is, this use is an act of confirmation. It effectively shuts down, confines, and secures. It binds as a seal. Like many in this church, we have several Tupperware bowls, most of them without lids, or lids that don't match. She's done great now. She draws little patterns on the lid that matches the pattern on the bowl, so I can go, okay, they match. But my mom used to sell Tupperware. But remember how you seal a Tupperware bowl. You put the Tupperware bowl lid on, you reach and pull it up and do what to it? You burp it. And then you press the seal down, and whatever is in the bowl is protected. They're great. They're great devices. They're great if you can find the right lid. Okay, the same thing happens here on this table. We have been burped. No, not really. But we have been secured. We have been sealed. We have been bound. And then we are protected, just like that food in that Tupperware bowl, but with eternal implications. And so this is a sign and a seal. Now, if you would, to our text, gentlemen, if you would put it up, please. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 22. Here the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of the living God. 2 Corinthians 2:18. As surely as God is faithful, excuse me, let me back up to 15. Thank you. Let me back up to 15. Because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus, Timothy, and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to the glory, for his glory. And it is God who establishes us in you, in Christ, and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us, and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And I do pray the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of the word. Is Paul playing word games here? Yes? No? Maybe? Well, sort of. Yes. No? No, he is not. But he is using this language to draw attention to, it is not yes and no with God. It is not a maybe with God. With God, you always get all that he is. It is always yes with God and his promises through Jesus Christ. Will God fulfill his promises he has made? Yes. Will God come and bring up his church when Jesus Christ returns? Yes. Has he promised to be with you throughout all of the ages? Yes. Has he promised this? And yes, 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 and yes. This table before us is a yes. It is a sign instituted by God to display Jesus Christ to you, me, the believers. and it seals them and acknowledges them that they, the Corinthians, you and I, are in fact children of God. As I said in Sunday school, that can never change. That can never change. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we are secure, we are confirmed, we are bound, we are confined for all eternity. Every time we share this table, we remember Jesus' work was not a maybe. And so many churches teach and preach today this conditionality of Jesus Christ and his love. He's there if. Jesus did not die for the possibility of your salvation or the salvation of the church. He is not waiting for you to make a decision. He has purchased your salvation through the work on the cross, which was predefined, predestined before the creation of the world. Yes, it is done. It is finished. Everything. And that message is communicated and confirmed in the Christian by the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. When you do something you know you probably shouldn't do, or say that something you shouldn't say, do you feel conviction? You know what that's a proof of? The Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Because if you were not convicted, then he's not there. In verses 21 and 22, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." So again, do you feel conviction after sin? Do you feel the burden of, that was not good? All right, that's the Tupperware lid. You are sealed. The Holy Spirit's there. And you are bound to Jesus Christ. And that can never change. Philippians 1 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at that day of Jesus Christ." You can be sure of that. He will not leave one thing left undone on that day of glorification. The Holy Spirit has been placed within us as that deposit. It is the presence of a guarantee. It confirms, it seals. And that which God desires confirmed is being his. The Holy Spirit within us is that resounding yes, confirming God's promises. So, as we approach this table today, we will remember him. We will do it as community. It is a sign and seal of who we are. And so that should bring to us an overwhelming feeling of confidence and assurance. Because this is a sign that represents God's work. And as Paul said, there's no yes and no. There's no vacillating, his word. There's no waffling. There's no, well, you know, she ain't done too good today, so maybe not. No, there's none of that. You know, he said some things he probably shouldn't say. Maybe not. Maybe he's not a believer. Well, we sin because we're sinners. That does not deny the presence of the Holy Spirit. A couple of affirmations of assurance and security. Go with me to John chapter 6. A couple of texts here underscoring that finality of the yes of salvation. John 6:35, if you would. If not, I'll read it to you, of course. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Do you hear anything ambiguous there at all? Is there any waffling in position there at all? No. Solid. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, you know where I'm headed. Verse 28. Romans 8, 28, a beautiful passage. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, is there anything ambiguous there? Not at all. Again, a resounding yes. Yes. What confidence do we have in the promises of God? That they should be tremendous. It's always yes. It's always yes. We who are believers are sealed in Christ Jesus. This table is a sign and a reminder of that sealing. And as Paul wrote here, we are more than conquerors, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are the church, a community of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've made that profession, that will never change. That will never change. Amen and amen and amen.